Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to the greatest podcast on earth, the greatest podcast ever recorded, and the greatest podcast you have ever heard, not only in your ears, but on Facebook and YouTube and the website. So we're not only going in through your ears, but we're going in through your eyes as well, so that you can digest all of the educational information about Islam and the world around us that is not fake news, that is real news. And that's why we're here. And I lost my train of thought. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome everybody, brothers and sisters, boys and girls from around the world. We want to welcome you to another mind-boggling episode of Raw Islam, where we want to pick your brain and pick your thoughts, and we want to push you to the brink that you will speak back to us. That is why we've been giving you these questions, and we feel these questions are very important in us for to engage in a meaningful dialogue that will bear the fruits of understanding, togetherness, and unity, and do away with the darkness and misconceptions and misunderstandings which are plaguing our society. Last week, we presented to you the Islamic perspective when it comes to the harms of passing on gossip, word, news, thoughts, reposting, retweeting, or forwarding messages which may not be factual. And in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stated that it is enough for a person to be categorized as a liar that they speak everything that they heard. That's to speaking by the mouth, that goes to writing with the pen, and it also means typing or forwarding with the fingers. That being said, my dear friend Carl, the last week itself didn't show us any promise that we were taking any of this advice to heed, and you tell us why.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you know, I know before we were starting, we were doing a little pre-show thing, and I was telling you that, you know, I left the office today and I got into my truck and I turned on the news. And I'm so just, where are we and what is happening right now? We have our president retweeting propaganda from a white hate group, not white hate, but a white group that promotes hate. We have a potential child molester that's going to be elected into Congress. We have the reversal of net neutrality. We have people that are being, you know, oh yeah, I fired him because he would lie to the FBI, but he didn't lie to me. And we got, it's just, I'm like, what are we doing? What is going on?
Well, Carl, you're one of the very few people who even ask themselves that simple question, what is going on? And the reason that's happening, and I'll tell you why this is happening, and that's why we're reaching out to our listeners again today to continue with a question that we left you with last week, and that was, what responsibility measures that would you take in order to ensure that fake news, false news, news that lacks consistency and authenticity stops moving forward and stops its spread? And that goes down to basic logic we spoke about. We spoke about researching it. You told us a website, snoops.com, I believe.
Yeah, that's it, snoops.com. And in fact, it was Snoop's that ended up. They were the first ones to start posting that those videos that the leader of the United States of America was sharing, one of or two of them were actually fake. One of them was from like 20 years ago or something like that, and the other one was actually two Dutch kids, not a
Syrian refugee.
Yeah, he had claimed it was a Syrian refugee, but according to Snoops, they're like, no, that's two Dutch teenagers, so thanks, try again.
Well, Britain First, an organization, I would call him a cult, a movement that believes that Britain First is about white people, white supremacy, taking back your country, taking back what belongs to you. An organization that even Theresa May, the prime minister, said is a hate group. Our president of the United States retweeted the very next day after our podcast last week. Actually, that night he retweeted, and I'm so frustrated. Three phony videos stating that how Muslims are actually living up to what ISIS claimed them to be. One was smashing a sculpture of the Virgin Mary. Well, if it was authentic and it was a Muslim, in Islam, we have a chapter in the Quran titled Mary, and we revere Mary, and her name comes in the Quran over and over again. So what the person did wasn't a disservice or an act like of blasphemy to the Christian faith. He did something to Islam also. And again, it was fake. The two boys fighting, it was claimed that one was a Syrian refugee, so heartless and gruesome and barbaric that he is beating up a young, innocent Dutch man on crutches when they were two Dutchmen fighting each other. And I didn't want to go into the last one. Was it breaking a cross or something? It's just craziness. But that this took me to in the last few days since last week that we spoke to you all is, why don't we care? And whose responsibility is it to care? These are the two questions I want to address today. Why don't we care is a very interesting, mind-boggling question, which if we all take a moment, breathe in, breathe out, and ask yourself the simple question, why don't I care? It's none of my business. B, because it isn't affecting me. C, because it's false and truthhood will ultimately overcome falsehood. Or D, because I'm a heartless human being. Carl, which one would you go for?
So 100% honesty, for me, it's going to be C. And that is that it's a falsehood. It's not right. And the universe itself, as it exists, has a way of always self-correcting. And so with falsehoods being pushed and a false narrative being pushed, it is in my belief, and some have called me naive, and I will accept that. I prefer to think of myself as hopeful, not naive, but Allahu alam. And I believe that truth will always overcome a lie, and that in fact it's a thing about the lightness shining through in the dark and cutting the dark and stuff like that. So truth always comes to the front, and that's why I get frustrated. But yeah, that's my theory. Definitely not D. I am not a heartless human being.
Well, I have a bone to pick with you. And
fair enough.
Pick it with the listeners. So why don't I care? I feel that C, the answer that you gave to justify C, in it is a question. Because when you talk about that truth will always prevail and light will always come and eliminate darkness or do away with darkness, and how the universe has a way of correcting itself, I question all three of those. Why? Because in the Quran, Allah says, وَقُلْ, O Muhammad, peace be upon him, say, جَاءَ الْحَقِّ, truth has come, وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, and the evil in falsehood has been eliminated, destroyed, dismantled. Something has to come in order for that to happen. See, if Allah says, if I didn't bring day to you, who would remove darkness? قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Say, if Allah was to make night forever to the day of judgment, who will bring light to you?
Only
so
Allah.
Day and night are two separate creations. The sun and the moon are also two separate creations. It is just by the making of the Lord that the sun comes along with the day and the moon comes along with the night. But sometimes we see the moon in daytime also. You agree?
Agreed.
Sometimes we see the moon also in daytime. But the moon's presence doesn't symbolize night, just as the sun's presence doesn't symbolize the day. And I say this because I think I said it before on one of the podcasts. My fellow classmate who used to sit beside me in England would tell me one day that the sun never rises in Britain. And I said, how could you say the sun never rises in Britain? And he said, because it's always cloudy. And I said, I just landed 2 days ago from in Heathrow Airport, and I could promise you above the thick layers of clouds there was a sun. But since it doesn't shine on Great Britain, doesn't mean the sun doesn't emerge. It continues to rise and it continues to set. The point I'm trying to make is we have, and I want people to respond to me on this because I'm provoking now. We have become to an extent D, heartless and careless, not because it doesn't relate to me, not because I don't care, not because truth will come out. It's because we have forgotten a responsibility. And that takes me to the question number two. And question number two was, who is going to be responsible? Who should be responsible? It's like every person passing the bucket to the next person, and every person assuming the next person will take the responsibility. Famous story. A father who told the eldest son to go fetch a bottle of milk from the... Now, the son, being lazy, said to the young brother, you go get it for dad. So the young one, having the zeal and the enthusiasm to kind of, you know, please his father, he runs and he gets the bottle of milk. But upon pulling it out from the fridge, he drops it on the ground and it shatters. Now the father comes stomping into the kitchen, angry because he heard a shatter, and he sees the glass shattered. He sees milk all over the place. Who is he going to blame? Who is he going to blame?
Well,
who's going to be to blame?
Well, I was going to say, for me, I think they would both be in trouble. The younger one, because he was a touch careless in what he's doing, and he just has to be slower and just, you know, calm down. But the older one would definitely be in trouble because I told him to do it. Why did he delegate it to somebody else?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. When I told you, why didn't you do it? I wouldn't chastise the younger one. I would, of course, advise him that in the future, take your time and be careful. But the chastisement and the discipline or the telling off would come down on the elder one because I told you.
Right.
God told us all to stand up for truth, to stand up for justice, to stand on the right side of things, to ensure that we eliminate and alleviate harms from our world, remove tyranny, alleviate the pains, help the sick, assist those who are sick, assist those who are poor and needy. It's a job of every human being. And we're passing the buck. And when you're saying, how do we have a president that's so irresponsible? Well, we assume the moral responsibility of our country, our lives, our ways on a president. When's the last time we assumed it on anyone? They have a standard in politics that they have to uphold, but the moral responsibility has to fall on each and every citizen and Samaritan. And the fact that we're failing that is a clear sign that we are not caring. And again, it sounds hard, it sounds rough, but there's only one way to put it, Carl, because these things are continuing. We're like, well, he's naive. Well, because Conway says, He's never done this thing before. He's never been presidential before. Who is ever presidential? Is there a university that you could go to? Because I really want to go because I want to learn how to be president. It's called stepping up the ladder. There's a game called Snakes and Ladders. You play it. You go from 0 to 100. You don't just go to 100. You go from 0 to 1. Sometimes you get a 59 or 65, and then you fall back down 20 or 30, and you start back again. It's called a trek of life. It's called a heart of service. It's called a zeal and a dedication. It's something that's not present in our leader, but it doesn't call for its absence from amongst us. So the point is, Carl, who should care? We all should have been caring. And when you look at the continuation of these trends, of alarming trends of moral decay, sexual harassment. We said we're going to talk about this actually also, but I want to push off for next week, the sexual harassment in religion. It's a topic we have to talk about, and sexual harassment in our culture and sexual harassment in our workplace. But
I think
we're hearing it.
I think I would footnote that. And of course we can discuss this off air just to make it official. But I think maybe for those of you watching this on Facebook, that one might start just a little bit later that night. Just given the topic, we might move it back by a half hour next week, just so we can make sure that because if we're going to be talking sexual harassment in the workplace and in the stuff like that, maybe we should just move it a little bit later, just a hair.
Sure. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, we should push that down. But my point I'm trying to make today to our listeners, and I don't want to preach here, but it is that where have we lost our sense of understanding the intensity and the severity of what's happening in our world? Where have we lost that moral compass within us, even though if someone else loses it? Carl, someone starts swearing at you. Are you going to swear back at them? Is that what your moral compass will tell you? I'm not going to say about emotional compass. Your moral compass, would it tell you to swear back?
No, of course not.
Starts cheating the system or starts cheating the people in your neighborhood, are you going to start cheating also?
No, of course not.
So where did this trend begin that if you can't beat them, join them? And I want to take this to a religious perspective. There are many out there who have reservation when it comes to religion. Their reservation is on the fact that God controls us and we don't want to be controlled. Remember that word that comes in Arabic, fate? It's called qadr. Qadr means fate. And a lot of people have issues with fate. And time again, the question arises, if God has destined things, then why should we care? If God has destined who's going to go to heaven and hell, why should I do anything? If the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said the day of judgment is coming, then who are we to stop it? And that's exactly where this question is taking us. We asked our listeners today, why don't we care? You identified C, the reason meaning that you felt that it was irrelevant. C, what was it for you?
No, what I was saying was that for me, and I actually want to clarify just a little bit, I sure do care, and I've never given him a pass. I've never been the one that said, oh, he's just a little, he's not presidential enough, give him time. No. And in fact, from the time that he started running, my grandfather growing up had a very big influence on me, and he was a first generation American, owned a factory, very hardworking, raised all the kids, blah, 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 blah. And to see the behavior, he wouldn't have tolerated that. And that's the way I look at it. I don't tolerate it. I don't accept it. There is no pass. You're either there or you're not. And if you're not, then you shouldn't be standing in front of the limelight like that. But what I said was C is that I feel that truth will always come to light over lies.
Correct. So you chose C and I chose D because I feel that we become heartless. And the reason I say I become heartless or we become heartless is because we feel someone else should pick up the buck. The bucket moves down to the next person when the bucket should stop here and I should take that responsibility. Now, why am I not taking responsibility takes me to the question that I just posed. People say, well, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, prophesies that Qiyamah is coming, the Day of Judgment is happening, and this is all the signs of Day of Judgment, so let it be. He said, I've been sent, and the Day of Judgment has been sent like this. He put his two fingers together, meaning this is how close my coming down as a prophet, or meaning my being chosen or selected to be a prophet, my prophethood, and the Day of Judgment is close. He said that 1460 something odd years ago. Now, the problem is that we have taken the religion to justify. I'm going to talk about two angles here, Carl. I hope you stick with me and the listeners. One is the angle of religious, and one is the angle of those who are rebellious to religion. Those who are clinging to religion are saying God has destined this, hence it was meant to happen, hence it is happening, hence we can't do anything about it. One angle approach. The second angle approach is God is always overbearing, he controls us, and he wants us to do what he wants us to do. And I don't like that, so I'm not going to abide by any religion, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Well said. Now let me ask first the second category. Those who are saying they don't want religion, they want to do what they want to do. Where then has your moral compass gone? Where then has your ability to change things for the betterment gone? Because the religious category says God has destined this and it's going to happen, and so they're clinging on to this baseless assumption, and I'll say baseless assumption, I'll clarify it, that it's going to happen, so it's happening, where those who say religion is controlling things and we want to control our own lives, why haven't we taken the reins of control in our hands to do what? To stand up for what we believe, to vocalize what we what we want America to be about, to stand up against these laws that are being passed and the discrimination that is increasing, and for those people who are losing their rights, and for those people who are going to pay more taxes, and for those who are going to lose their health care, why don't you stand up for these things? Remember, we all think the next person is going to do it. There was a king, and he had his ministers, and he would always boast in front of his ministers, everyone in the kingdom loves me. And one day, one of the ministers scoffed, and he said, how dare you scoff at me? I'm going to kill you. He said, before you kill me, let me challenge you. What's the challenge? If everyone in this kingdom loves you, go out on that balcony and call everyone from the kingdom and tell them in your appreciation and love for the king and what he's done for you in service, put a bucket of milk in this fountain. There was a newly built fountain, a very large body, like a pool. And he said, command everyone, put a bucket of milk in there and, you know, let this thing shine and let the water dance with milk. So he went out, he made the claim, goes, out of your love for me, I want you all tonight to put one bucket of milk in this fountain. At nighttime, all the families were sitting quiet. If we pour an entire bucket of milk, the king in his fountain, who's going to bake the bread tomorrow? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do the cooking? Who's going to do the sales? How are we going to make a living? Long story short, zoom. Okay, you know what? Carl's going to put a bucket of milk. I'll put a bucket of water. Who gives, right? It's not going to, no one's going to find out. And the morning when the king came out to the balcony to prove them to his advisor that he was wrong so he could be killed, lo and behold, it was pure, clear water. There wasn't a single drop of milk. That's exactly what's happening in our society. Everyone thinks the same way. We have to change our thinking process first. And I'm addressing those who feel because of religious, restrictions, one may not live their life the way they want to and do what they want to do and run their own affairs the way they decree it to be. Go ahead and do it then. Those values that you articulate and that you believe in. As for those who are religious, category number one, it's bogus. For the fact you say that the Prophet Muhammad SAW said it's going to happen and it's happening and so let it be. No. He said it 1,400 years ago. How come it didn't happen then? How come it didn't happen 1,200 years ago? How come it didn't happen 800 years ago? How come it didn't happen 100 years ago? How come it's happening now? The reason Allah never told us when the Day of Judgment will be is because it all goes down to us. If we stop doing what's right, then evil will prevail. And the signs will occur and the Day of Judgment will come forward. But if we continue to do the good, evil will not prevail. Evil will be stagnant. Evil suppressed because good has now come. As I told you, Carl, Ja'al Haq, the truth has to come. It's not going to just blow in. You have to bring it. We have to bring it. So until you don't bring it, then you are actively pushing back against the Day of Judgment, against the signs of the Day of Judgment, and against all that's going to happen. So the point I'm trying to make here is, why don't we care? Because to an extent, we become heartless. Who's responsible? I'm responsible. How do I take that responsibility? Not by throwing it on the religion, and not by throwing it off the religion. Those who throw it on the religion to justify, I just articulated that. And those who are throwing it off the religion, they're not proving anything better. So my point is, when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, stood in Medina, and close to 20 times, he pointed east. And he said, the Antichrist is coming from there. I don't think you understand me. The Antichrist is coming from there. I don't think you guys got it. The Antichrist is coming from there. He talked about the bloodshed that would occur in Syria. He talked about the lands of Ghouta, where these chemical weapons were used on the people of Ghouta in Syria. He talked about Jesus descending on the Damascus, white mosque of Damascus on the minaret. Said, he talked about the instability in Yemen. He did say these things. Ask yourself, why is it happening now? Why is it happening in my life? Because I haven't taken the initiative to push against it. When you push against it, you'll even it out. When you even out, then you could tackle it down. So, in short, Carl, we have to start taking responsibility. If not, fake news will become real news and real news will become fake news. Liars will lead and truthful people will be considered liars. Wrong will prevail and right will diminish. This is what's happening in our world. And another point to that, Carl, is what just transpired yesterday. Travel ban 3.0. The Supreme Court upheld Trump's travel ban, stating that it is constitutional for people of 6 Muslim majority nations not to come into this country. I can tell you one thing. When the first ban was put down by a federal judge in Seattle, Washington, I was in Seattle, Washington. I was in a coffee shop, and the lady that was serving me, and I got that news, I was so happy. She told me what happened. I told her what transpired. She gave me a high five. We were so happy that there was a moral defeat. There was a moral defeat to an immoral law that was trying to be pushed through our justice system. That night, I went downtown. I went downtown specifically before my flight, and there was a rally going on, and they allowed me to speak, and I thanked the people of Seattle, Washington, for standing up on the right side of history. Today, we are not on the right side of history. You can write to your congressmen and women. You can write to your senators. You can call your senators. You could write to the president. You could raise your voices. Do petitions. Let the world know what you believe in. Up home and say, I control my life and I decide I don't want to do anything. Or you could say, God said this is going to happen to my son and daughter, and that's exactly what's happening. In both cases, in my eyes, in the eyes of many others, you're a complete failure.
I know that your silence is where I'm supposed to come in and say something, but that's a lot to digest real quickly. So for me, it's as usual, I don't disagree with anything that you've said. I know, and I don't know if it, I don't even want to, it's called slacktivism, I think, but I tweet my congressmen, I tweet my representatives, I tell them, don't do this. There's been one or two occasions where I've called and I said, this isn't right, fix this. But at the same time, it's, I do care. And I guess for me, it's a little bit of a lack of organization for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you could tell me, hey, we're going to give you a job in Congress addressing these issues specifically with these people, I'd be like, excellent, let's do that. I remember when the courts overturned Muslim Ban 1 and Muslim Ban 2, I was happy, and it made me happy because this is our system. This is the system that I served in the military to defend. This is what it's supposed to do because these laws are ridiculous. This statement is ridiculous. And regardless of what you think, it is racist. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's okay that the courts did this, and that's why the courts did that, and that's why the courts are there. Checks and balances, three branches of government, and we're going to go ahead and instate 3.0 temporarily, just full-blown. Wait, what? And I'm like...
all three branches have failed us.
And that's the thing, is now... as, you know, the red-blooded American who eats his steak for dinner and American veteran in America, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. What happened? This is our checks and balances system. What happened? Why is this okay? Why are we having this conversation?
Well, that's why I want to close off with a question and give a word of inspiration. I've come out a bit hard tonight, and it's not the norm, but I feel it's needed. Remember, when you're running a race, and it's a lengthy one, you're talking about a couple of laps, it's that last corner of the last lap which is the most difficult. And if you look back and say, well, I've ran 3.5 laps, what does this half a lap mean? It means everything. So success... an accomplishment is in front of us right now. We can still navigate the course of history if we get off our tushes and try to do one more lap. Just half a lap. It's one half of a lap that's remaining. Yes, we're tired. Yes, we're exhausted. Yes, we're frustrated. Yes, we see the others gaining an edge on us. But you know what? We just have to keep it up, and you have to do it in a way that others stay up. I just came back from a debate tonight. My friend Ahmed, he's running for District 58 here in Tampa, and we heard from the hypocritical mouths of the Democrats and Libertarians who spoke with no substance. And that's exactly what's happening here. People who are standing up with false promises. We need real change. So shout out to Ahmed's campaign. Elections and the polls open on the 9th here in December, and they go on till the 9th. But another thing that's really hurting me, I came back from University of Tampa. I taught two classes tonight. One of the students of the university committed suicide, and there was a vigil for him after I left. I couldn't stay. We're going through rough times, but we're almost there. Hope is still there. You just have to bring it forward. Just yank on it a bit more and we could do it. So my question to our listeners tonight as we close is, what's the one thing you can commit towards doing to ensure that we uphold goodness, justice, and prosperity for all? What's the one thing that you can do, that you commit to do, to uphold justice, prosperity, and peace for all? I need you all to think hard, email us, respond in whichever you may, that you're making your commitment. We share it with everyone else and let them make their commitment. I think commitment is the first step. Once we articulate what we want to do, then as a Muslim, we say, inshallah, God gives us the willpower and the way to do it.
You know, that reminds me, and it was a quick little thing, and it was a little thing that made me smile that happened today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, looking at me, mm-hmm. if you just ran into me in the store, you wouldn't think, oh, this is my Muslim brother. Mm-hmm. And my cashier was Muslim, and she was she was checking me out because I was at the grocery store, and she was scanning my stuff. She was checking me out, bagging it. And she's like, "Oh, how are you today, sir?" I said, "I'm good. How are you today?" She goes, "Alhamdulillah." And I said, "You know what? I'm glad you did that. That makes me feel good. I'm glad that you were comfortable enough to say that, especially this close to downtown DC." And it made me happy. And, you know, the reason I say that is because I've caught myself a couple of times this week speaking to non-Muslims that don't know inshallah or alhamdulillah. And you've got to stop and you've got to be like, "Oh, yeah, inshallah, you know, if the universe wills it, it will be." Because they don't know that stuff, so you have to translate it.
Very good.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have reached the end of yet another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Muslims entering the United States.
First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find them oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.